Tuesday, November 5th. This is Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arrett. You said the date, Cherry. Tuesday, November 5th.
Yes.
It is finally here, Election Day. And much of the electorate is holding its breath in this neck-and-neck race. It has been a frenetic election season, especially for Pennsylvania voters who've been bombarded with ads, canvassers, and constant news.
Yeah, people are on edge. And of course, we might not know who won the presidential contest tonight. So everyone just may have to hold on a little bit longer. And so we want to hear from you. How are you feeling today? Did you vote? What motivated you to cast your ballot? You can call us. The number is 888-477-9499. You can also email studio2@whyy.org. And this hour, we're going to take you to the polls around our region to check in with our reporters and voters in Bucks County, Doylestown, and more. But we're going to start in North Philly.
Indeed. And that is where WHYY News political reporter Carmen Russell Sluchansky is. He's at Julio de Burgos Elementary School in the Fairhill section of North Philadelphia. Carmen, who are you talking to this morning and what are they telling you?
Well, let me point out first, this is the third polling station that I've been to today. So I've been talking to a number of people, people on both sides of the aisle, if you will. So, for example, I talked to Cliff Copper earlier, who is a Trump voter, and he told me what is really important to him here.
Right now, it's really just the money that controls everything in our hood, in our neighborhood. If it ain't no money, that's where the crime start. So if we was full of money, it wouldn't be that much crime. Inflation affected everybody. Milk, $6. So I think that it affected everybody with food and sugar taxes. So I'm affected financially.
Interesting,
so Cliff,
Carmen, yeah.
Yeah, so Cliff, Cliff sees Donald Trump as a successful businessman, so he thinks that he's going to come in and help the economy. Now, where I'm at now, I've talked to a lot of Puerto Rican voters, which has, you know, been a very, very hot topic, if you will, that where they're who they're planning on voting for. It's overwhelmingly for Harris here. A lot of them did bring up the garbage comment that Tony Hinchcliffe made at a Trump rally at Madison Square Garden. I even got to talk to a young woman by the name of Elizabeth, who was here with her dad. She's 18 years old. It was her first time voting, and she was looking at, she thought abortion was a very important topic there, and so she also had just voted, and she voted for Harris.
Wow. Interesting. So, Carmen, does it feel like the turnout is higher? Did you talk to any poll workers and get any take on how it feels compared to other elections thus far?
Well, yeah. So it's very light. It's very light. I actually had to, had to stand out for a long time in order to even, talk to a lot of people. They are trickling in. And this has been in all three locations that I've been in, the other location in North Philly, Old City, and here now. I was given to understand that pretty much throughout the entire day, it's been pretty light. They're saying that a lot of people voted early. They do expect some more people to come in, but they also say it's consistent. It's been very consistent throughout the day. Like, for example, I'm sitting here right now and there's not really anybody coming in or out, but I'm sure like in a minute or so, somebody will.
Well, Carmen, you've got a lot to do today, mm-hmm. So we're going to let you go. For ongoing coverage from WHYY News Today, head to WHYY.org/elections. You'll find a live blog with dispatches from Carmen and reporters across the region. Carmen Russell Sluchansky, Election Day after a long election cycle. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And now, turning to our folks in studio, we have two seasoned political analysts who are going to share their perspectives this election day, signs they're watching, and so much more. We have Solomon Jones, a Democrat and a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's also a host on WURD Radio. We have Elizabeth Preate-Havey, a longtime Republican Party leader and an attorney. Liz and Solomon, welcome to Studio 2.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So first of all, just get this out of the way. We've got someone with the last name Harvey coming on later, Liz. So if we slip that R in there, we're just getting out in front of that.
Happens all the time.
But I just want to get your guys' perspectives on the closing weeks. Do you think anything in this race changed and how, if you had to predict right now? So I'll start with you, Liz. What is your sort of perspective on the last few weeks of this campaign?
So I would say, you know, starting about 3 weeks ago, Trump was steadily gaining. I think that, you know, his McDonald's appearance and other things like that were very well received by the voters. But I think his, Madison Square Garden rally turned out to be a mistake. They didn't vet the speakers before they came on. I think that was a mistake. And so I think she had a good week. If it wasn't for Biden and Mark Cuban insulting supporters of Trump, I think she would have had a huge week. They sort of tamped down, and they gave, I think, the Trump campaign an opportunity with the garbage truck and everything else to get a lot of social media headway. But I do think she seems to have tightened up the polls a little bit in the end, making this really a race where it's just too close to call. If you were looking at the electoral votes as they were happening in the last couple of weeks, the early voting, you should be alarmed if you're a Democrat. But then you start looking at the polling that's showing that, you know, after the Madison Square Garden debacle, you started to see some shifting back towards Harris. So it's anybody's game here.
Yeah. Signals going both directions. Mm-hmm. Solomon Jones, your thoughts in the last few weeks of this campaign?
Well, I do agree that the Madison Square Garden rally was a turning point. I think that for Puerto Rican voters in particular, they were very angry. They're very proud people, very proud about their heritage, and felt insulted and said that they were going to vote that way. However, because of early voting, which you didn't have in earlier elections, some of them had already voted for Donald Trump. And I think, you know, we have to know that there are people in the Latino community, and it's not a small number, mm-hmm. who support Donald Trump. But I think the thing with Puerto Rican voters who are here in very large numbers, I think that's going to make a difference in the campaign. I think the other thing that's going to make a difference is the early voting, because when you look at who voted early, it was mostly women. Mm-hmm. And so are women voting on that abortion issue like they did in 2022 in an election that really hurt Republicans, or are they just, we want to get out early? I think it's the former rather than the latter. I think they're voting on reproductive rights.
Yeah. And my follow up question to you, Solomon, and also for you, Liz, is the gender gap, because there's a 34-point gender gap, a chasm. And I want you to look at these past few weeks. Did each of the campaigns do their job to close that gap? And I want to start with you, Solomon, because, you know, Harris seemed to lean in on men. Did she do enough?
She leaned in on black men in particular, because there was a storyline that she was losing black men. And I don't know how true that storyline is. I think that certainly her numbers are going to be lower than somebody like Obama's was. But everybody in the black community voted for Obama because he was the first black candidate.
He won Pennsylvania overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Biden was not Obama. Hillary Clinton was not Obama. And so you're going to see those numbers kind of slide with subsequent candidates. But the majority of black men, I think it's 72% or more, are going to vote for Kamala Harris. But she did lean into that. I got stuff at my house addressed to me talking about black male issues. I covered her visit last Sunday to Philadelphia and asked her a question. Her people made sure that they called on myself and the other only black male reporter in the room. She went to a barbershop to have a forum with black men. And so she really was trying to address that. We'll see if it works. It's not for lack of trying.
Yeah. And Liz, same question about the gender gap on the other side. Did Trump make inroads with women at all in these final weeks?
You know, I didn't see a specific turn like you were seeing with Harris's ads, honestly. But I did. You know, he had you probably saw Nikki Haley wrote a very strong op-ed in his defense in The Wall Street Journal. Is supporting him on Sunday. Megyn Kelly, who had once had an issue with him, came out and spoke on his behalf. His message has been pretty consistent. It's about the economy. And I think for people who are voting on that issue, we've seen in the polls that he's doing better on that issue.
And quick follow up about Megyn Kelly. She also criticized, she voted for Trump, but she also criticized him and said, look, you know, the Madison Square Garden thing was a mistake, and it might have turned off women. Is there any concern there?
Yeah, I think that I don't actually blame Trump so much as I blame the campaign. I don't know how you let those people go out there without vetting them, without having a simple rule of, guys, we're not going to insult anybody. You know, it's just simple. So, and I actually talked to somebody who's involved in the top of the campaign. He was very frustrated and upset.
I'm curious, though, you mentioned Nikki Haley, Liz, who did write that op-ed in the Journal. That's got reach. But I always expected to see her on a stage with Trump at some crucial point in this campaign. It didn't happen. Do you think that's a mistake strategically?
Well, she was here with Dave McCormick and the other Republican candidates in Pennsylvania a few times, all over Pennsylvania. Yeah. So,
but with Trump specifically, I just thought that might make a splash, you know?
Yeah, I don't know why she didn't, but my what I've been told from people that work with her was that she's supporting him and he was happy to have that support. So I'm not really sure what happened there.
But I also am
somebody who feels like there's surrogates. Some surrogates help and some don't so much. And we can talk a lot about it and focus on it. But that whole idea has changed in my view.
Really?
You know, I mean, I think because who are the surrogates the real voters are really looking at? Like, for example, Joe Rogan, the biggest podcast in the world, last night tweeting for Donald Trump. I don't know. Does that make an impact? That's somebody I would have thought Harris would have gone to talk to, because the reach for voters is so different now. They're not reading the mainstream media like they used to. You know, they're not watching TV news like they used to. They're looking at their phones.
Right.
And so it's a little different. I just don't know how much, you know, and I don't know how much Liz Cheney is impacting things. We'll see on Election Day. We'll see.
Let's read in some emails now. We asked you guys how you're feeling today, who you voted for, and why. Peter from Dover, Delaware says he voted for Harris because Peter values our international relationships and thinks Trump will damage our international relationships with our allies. You want to add your voice, give us a call, 888-477-9499, Studio 2 at WHYY.org.
I want to talk about this Get Out the Vote effort. And Solomon, I know you were at the rally yesterday.
Yes.
There's been so much attention in Pennsylvania. I got like four texts this morning, okay? So many ads. But I want to talk about your thoughts. Is this really translating to votes? What do you think the campaigns are going to have brought out the type of voters that they need today and in this early voting stage? Yeah,
I think that it has been a very robust Get Out the Vote effort. I've never seen anything like it. But I think that Harris had so much money and so much backing here in Philadelphia from the Democratic Party that they were able to roll out everything that they had. And so just an example, I live in the 50th Ward. It's a very high turnout area. It's a black area. But I've had six or seven canvassers come to my door. Now, they weren't looking for me. They were looking for my son. They were looking for my daughter. They were looking for the young voters in the house. And I was kind of insulted because they asked, you know, is Solomon here? And I was like, I'm Solomon. They were like, no, you're not 20. Where's the other Solomon?
And looking for Junior here.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that it is going to be effective because you have to hit people with any message. Anybody in advertising will tell you this six or seven times.
Yeah.
They have done that with their voters. And I believe that's why Kamala Harris probably didn't go on Joe Rogan, because she's probably like, I go in there. I'm not reaching the people that listen to Joe Rogan aren't my voters. No, I'm going on Charlemagne the God. I'm going on the other podcast where my voters are. And so it's interesting. I think they've both taken similar tacks. But I have heard from the Harris campaign many, many times. I think it's going to be effective.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fascinating test case, I think, for GOTV, Get Out the Vote, because I had the same experience as Solomon. I have never been contacted so many times.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But some people might be turned off by that. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, before as we go to a break, about 45 seconds, Liz, what do you think is the sort of effectiveness of Get Out the Vote? Does it have a real impact?
Oh, I think it does. And I think that that is where Republicans have never been able to catch up with Democrats. I mean, we've seen this time and time again. The only place where we've, quite frankly, have seen our turnout numbers go through the roof is when Trump's been on the ballot.
Right.
So it really is interesting. You know, I'm getting reports that,
and that's not so much canvassers. That's just
him.
That's just his magnetism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although, that being said, there is a bigger effort on the Republican side than I've ever seen to have a turnout, a high turnout. But I don't think it can compete with the money that Harris has, which is, you know, what, three or four times the kind of money that the Republicans have. And the same goes for Senator Casey and Dave McCormick.
Dave McCormick, yeah.
Yeah.
All these things tied together. All right. Lot more to come. Mm-hmm. We're going to head out to Bucks County. And we're going to hear from a chair of the Bucks County Board of Elections. You want to stay tuned for that. That's all coming up this hour on Studio 2. If you want to contribute your thoughts Election Day, email us, studio2@whyy.org. We'll be right back.
Who did I vote for? Donald Trump. Actually, I voted for Biden last election. I think that I became older, wiser. I'm a hardworking American. I'm a mother of two now. And I just want to be rewarded for what I'm putting into this economy and into my country.
I absolutely voted for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Democrats up and down the ballot. And I hope everyone else did too. America is literally sitting on the edge of a very, very bad cliff. People are saying the quiet parts out loud now. So we need to do what we need to do.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. You just heard there from Alexa in Prospect Park and Candace in North Philadelphia. And now we're going out to the suburbs, which could make all the difference in this presidential contest. WHYY's Tom McDonald traveled to a morning eatery to speak to some voters. Tom, who did you chat with this morning?
Well, among the people I had a chance to talk to was Trish Brennan, who was up before dawn to vote. She stopped here at the Bagel Barrel in Doylestown for a quick coffee before heading to the polls. She said the advertising in this area is overwhelming.
It is a lot of commercials, but I think that's the way people get their voices out. So, but I wish there were more positive spins. So I wish there wasn't so many negative ones.
Well, I'll tell you, the advertising is incredible. There's all kinds of banners on the lawns, and there's even some people stealing each other's banners. Patrick Murphy owns this restaurant. He says he can't wait until the election's done.
Hoping by the end of the day that all the commercials stop and basically it goes back to normal and we can go on with the 4 years of not getting anything done.
Wow.
Interesting perspective there, Tom. Can you tell us about lines and turnout? Do you have any insights there?
Well, I can tell you, people started lining up early this morning and they're still there. As the day goes on, people are worried about getting in line before time runs out tonight. And a lot of people say they want to make sure their vote is counted no matter what it takes.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That's Tom McDonald. Always on the road. We appreciate your time, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
For ongoing coverage from WHYY News Today, you can head to WHYY.org/elections, where you will find a live blog with dispatches from our reporters all across the region. And now I want to reintroduce our guests. We have Solomon Jones, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist and WURD host. And we have Elizabeth Preate-Havey, longtime Republican Party leader and an attorney. How are you feeling? Weigh into the conversation. Email us, studio2@whyy.org, or call 888-477-9499.
We were talking about this a little bit before the break, Liz. But, you know, this is Donald Trump's third time on the ballot here in Pennsylvania. He actually got more raw votes and a higher percentage in Pennsylvania in 2020 compared to 2016. That might surprise some people because he lost in 2020. Do you still think there's room for him to grow? Because you mentioned he is a turnout powerhouse, but there's a ceiling for everybody, for every politician. Do you think there's room for him to grow and where?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, if you talk to the Democrats, they think that he maxed. If you talk to Republicans, they say, no, he has room to grow. And I guess I would say he has room to grow if you look at the registration numbers, because Republicans netted a lot. The number I saw was maybe 79,000 or something new voters. That was their net higher than Democrats. I don't know if that's the exact number, but they definitely came out better on the registration. So those people vote, right? If you just registered for this election, you're voting.
Yep.
So I think those are going to be Trump voters. I think there will be some people who on the economy will switch their vote. I think that Harris could gain in the city, for example, where there was a little bit of a lower turnout than they wanted for Biden. Hard to see if she does better in the suburbs than Biden, because Biden did really well in the suburbs. I expect Harris to do really well as well. And Biden, to me, felt like, you know, to those of us that live near Philly, he feels like somebody that was our third senator. But I could see her still doing just as well as him in Philly suburbs. So I don't know. I mean, the rural counties, there's new people. There's a lot of new registered voters out there, and those are generally Trump voters. So I think that's where we would see it.
Yeah, and my question for you, Solomon, is sort of in that same vein. Harris has literally made outreach to Republicans.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about how that outreach is going, specifically in and around Philadelphia?
No.
Okay.
No. I can't really give you, you know, what that is actually going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say is this, that when I look at who's voting,
mm-hmm.
and I see women voting, the question I have is this, because 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump in his first
2016
couple of, right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Runs. Will that change, like things changed in 2022 with the advent of Republicans kind of overplaying their hand, I think, in overturning Roe versus Wade? I think that sparked a lot of anger. And so while I agree with Liz that Trump draws people out to vote, I think that there are going to be as many people voting against him and against what he's done as there are people who are going to be voting for him.
And I guess the question for you, Liz, in a follow-up to that, do you think Harris has been able to pull in some of those Republican women and build bridges with Republican voters generally?
Well, Biden had already done that. So he did a very good job of it. And we, you know, we did not do well in the Southeast in 2020 at all. So I think, does she do even better than Biden with women? Maybe because of the Roe v. Wade. But I also know that, you know, and it's anecdotal, but I've spoken to some women, like you saw, who mm-hmm. are having trouble paying their bills, and they're not happy with the last 4 years. So I don't know the answer. It's too close.
It's too close. Yeah.
Question for you, Solomon. In 2016, about 710,000 votes cast in the city of Philadelphia. In 2020, that number went up to 744,000 in the city of Philadelphia. Where do you see turnout going in Philly this election? Up, down, sideways?
I think it'll probably go up, but not as much as Democrats want it to.
Yeah.
I've spoken with a lot of people in Democratic leadership, including Mayor Sherelle Parker, including Pennsylvania Party Chair Sharif Street. They're looking for that number to climb to about 800,000.
Mm.
I don't know if it does. I mean, that's an optimistic view. But I do
that
think
that would seem pie in the sky almost for Democrats.
Right.
800,000. Wow.
Right. So you aim high and hope that you land somewhere in between. So, you know, if it goes up 20 or 30,000 votes, is that enough to make a difference in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania? Maybe so.
Yeah. I want to read a comment before my next question. Pedgman emails, I think it's extremely sad that we live in a time when we have to feel serious issues if Trump loses. The threat of violence is real and very disturbing. And I want to talk to you both about the angst and the anxiety that people have been feeling leading up to Election Day. Liz, I know you had expressed some concerns. Regardless of who wins, it's like people have been having nightmares on both sides of the aisle. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm worried. I said that to Solomon outside. I mean, I think, listen, I live in a very deep blue area, and I refuse to work the polls today.
Mm.
And it's because I've been treated so badly for so long. And I just sit there and you take it, turn the other cheek, and never say anything. And the old guard Republicans in Democrats in Montgomery County, we were friendly and they were respectful, and they have quit because they said it's a different view, it's a different feeling. And I'm worried. I have a young man working at the polls, and I said, you call me, because if you start getting screamed at, and it's usually pretty vile, to be honest, if you start getting screamed at, I want you to come, you call me, and we're going to walk away from the poll. So, but I'm sure that there's, you know, on both sides, there's going to be that. And it scares me. And I'm concerned about where the country is tomorrow and the next day, no matter who wins, honestly.
Yeah, your thoughts. Do you feel that, Solomon, the angst and the anxiety on the Democratic side and in the communities you serve?
I'm smiling because my wife insisted that we go to Sam's and get a bunch of extra food.
And
right.
Stock up?
So,
like,
yeah,
really? Like a snowstorm,
that's
right?
That's right. We are stocked up just in case. I mean, you don't know. But I think that people are, there is that anxiety. And I think that on the Democratic side, when you look at what happened on January 6th, there was one group of people that decided that they could do that and get away with that. And, you know, many of them did. Of course, many of them eventually prosecuted for what they did. But, you know, so Democrats are very anxious in how MAGA Republicans and particularly will respond, whether Donald Trump wins or loses. Mm-hmm. Do they feel empowered to do whatever if he wins? And do they feel vengeful if he loses?
Let's bring in a caller now. This is Margaret on line one. Margaret's helping people with their mail ballots today. Margaret, out and about in the community. You're on Studio 2 right now. Margaret, what's your question or comment?
Thank you very much. My comment is, I'm a volunteer with Promote the Vote PA. We are a nonpartisan nonprofit. We've been helping many, many Pennsylvania voters whose mail-in ballots have been rejected and who will lose the ability to vote unless we can help them today. We have drivers. We have help. We can get emergency ballots. Our phone number, our hotline, is 267-225-6773. Our Republican-dominated legislature has rejected ballots for reasons on the envelope that have no real bearing and are not legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, thanks for your volunteer efforts, Margaret. I appreciate that. And thanks for calling into Studio 2.
Yeah. How are you feeling? Did you vote today? What got you to the polls? Give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-477-9499, or email studio2@whyy.org. I want to talk about mis and disinformation a little bit. I know both campaigns had to battle with that. And I want to get your take. How do you think the Harris campaign, Solomon, did with battling misinformation throughout the campaign, especially when it talks about fraud, voter fraud, and all the other issues that have been bubbling up, especially on social media?
I think it's hard to do. And I think that, you know, eventually I think they decided to settle on having people just repeat their message over and over again, rather than trying to answer every bit of disinformation or misinformation. One of the things that I see on social media, when I see posts from people who seem to be trolling on one side or the other, I always click on that that person and see, they have followers?
Are they a real person?
Are they real?
A bot?
Right? Because if they have zero followers, they're not real. And so I find that there is a lot of that, and you don't know where it's coming from. Does it come from the Republican Party? Does it come from Russia? Does it come from Iran? I mean, we just don't really know where that comes from, but there is so much of it that it's impossible to just battle all of it.
I agree completely. That's really a fear, and I think it's legitimate, that Iran and or Russia are somehow trying to manipulate us into something bad. No matter what the outcome of the election is, I feel uncomfortable. There was a whole, it was fake. It was it's showing that Republican ballots were being ripped up
in Bucks County
and that turned out to be fake. I would be, you know, it could be from Iran or whatever, but that's bad stuff, right? And, you know, again, whoever wins tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing false stuff on the internet.
Liz, I want to ask you about, I guess, what you might consider the second race on the ballot, and that is the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Bob Casey and challenger Dave McCormick. Do you think there's going to be a significant gap between how Casey does and Harris does, also correspondingly how Trump does and McCormick does? The polling suggests there might be. History says there typically isn't. How do you see that race playing out vis-a-vis the presidential?
Well, I think for Casey, he certainly needs, he wants Harris to win, and McCormick needs Trump to win, in my view, because
needs,
I think,
yeah
he mm-hmm. needs it. I don't think Casey does. I mean, Casey has consistently pulled a little bit higher or tied with Dave McCormick. Casey has far more money than Dave McCormick. If I were Casey, I'd be worried that I'm not, after all of these years, decades of being elected, that I'm not a 50%. That's sort of strange,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are scratching their head about that.
It's a lot of sort of 49, yeah. 44 type of results
exactly.
in these polls, yes.
Right, so you can't really be sure. But I'm sure that the Casey people are feeling a little bit better than the McCormick people just because of the polling data that they have seen. But that one's another one that you could see if Trump wins Pennsylvania by 2 or 3 points, I think Dave McCormick wins. I think if Harris wins Pennsylvania, I think Casey wins.
Yeah. And do you think that that same logic would hold for the other down ballot races? Because we also have Attorney General, right, which is a statewide race. We have a number of contested yeah. congressional seats. Your yeah. thoughts?
A lot of people are running on coattails
yeah.
this time around because nobody has money except the people at the top of the ticket. Now, one of the things that Kamala Harris's campaign did that I thought was brilliant was to share some of that money with people who were in those down ballot races. And they did it at an unprecedented clip. And so we'll see if that actually matters. When I see people advertising or having signs in front of their houses, one of the things that's interesting to me is that Democrats tend to have all of the signs. Right. So they have a sign
right.
for Kamala Harris and for Malcolm Kenyatta and for Madeleine Dean and for Bob Casey.
Yeah.
Whereas when I see the Trump stuff, it's really
Trump.
We love
yeah.
Trump, you know, but you don't see anything about the down ballot races.
Well, the one exception to that, I think, is the attorney general's race. And I will tell you, I'm co-chairing that race mm-hmm. where he
so the, Dave the, Sunday
Dave
is the Republican.
Sunday is a Republican running against Eugene D. Pasquale.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Sunday has had a significantly more money. And you probably saw in the Southeast, you only saw Dave Sunday's ads. Eugene D. Pasquale did not have enough money to even run ads in the Southeast. So it's very hard to overcome. I think it's probably equivalent of about $10 million more in the AG's race. So I could see... I think Dave Sunday actually runs ahead of Donald Trump in Pennsylvania.
So maybe the one Republican who actually could win mm-hmm. if Harris holds Pennsylvania,
yeah.
you see that as Dave Sunday. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, I think Stacey Garrity. I think Stacey Garrity, the treasurer, you
incumbent,
know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Shapiro, the Democrat, has refused to endorse the Democrat candidate for treasurer. Mm-hmm. And
that's Aaron,
you know,
McClelland, yeah.
Yeah, and Stacey has gotten a lot of union support that has generally gone to Democrats. So I think Stacey Garrity will win, even if Harris wins. And I think Tim DeFore, the Auditor General, he may win as well. Listen, both of them won last time, even though Biden won by 80,000 votes. Those two Republican row office candidates both won last time. So I see the same thing happening again.
Great email from Matt that I should read in. Matt says, two guests on opposing sides being respectful and thoughtful in their discussion. It's refreshing. So I'm listening. He's talking about our show. And says, just as someone on your show mentioned door knockers, three came to my door. I
all
answered,
right.
I told them, and we all had a good laugh. Nice to have some comedic relief on this Tuesday, November 5th. Thanks for the email, Matt. I am still, though, hung up on this get out the vote stuff,
mm-hmm.
Solomon and Liz. I mean, one of the things I'm wondering, too, is what type of contact is most effective? Because I know a lot of people are overwhelmed by the text messages and
yeah.
the calls.
Yeah.
I don't know how they feel about the door knocks. Katrina from Glenside asks about those handwritten postcards. Do
mm-hmm.
they have an effect? I mean, as we go to break, only about 45 seconds, Solomon, what do you see as the most effective form of get out the vote, considering how much Democrats have invested in it?
I think it's the door knocking.
Door knocking,
I do. When you have a chance to actually talk to a real person. Because I'll never forget when they told me I wasn't 20. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. But it's a reminder
yeah.
that these people actually came to your door, and that mm-hmm. it's different groups. So some of them are from the union. Some of them are from the party. Some of them are from other groups. And so I think that it's extremely effective to be able to actually talk to a person. The text messages, they're just annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great point.
I agree. Look, I think one thing that the Republicans have done, and maybe this is through Elon Musk, is they've reached out to my young boys. They got personal phone calls.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's a big dynamic in this race. Yeah. Okay, more to come, including Commissioner Bob Harvey from Bucks County. We're going to hear how things are going in Bucks this morning from a man right in the center of the action. Give us a call if you want to contribute, 888-477-9499. This is Studio 2 on WHYY. We'll be right back.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.
Donald Trump. That's who I want to vote. Well, he's an asshole. But I think our economy was better. Everything was better. And I don't like her.
We can be one and do the right thing for the United States, right? We don't need one person dictating everything that we do the way that the former president wants to do. He should be on board to do the right thing for the United States.
And welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. You just heard from Margie, who voted in Prospect Park, and Edwina from North Philadelphia. We're talking about the election, the turnout, the final messaging, the counties to watch with Solomon Jones, a Democrat, WURD host, and columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and with Liz Prieto-Havey, a longtime Republican leader and an attorney.
Our question to you is this. What got you to vote today or perhaps before today? Also, how are you feeling about the election? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. Our email is studio2@whyy.org.
And now we want to do a check-in with a swing district in our region, one that could be very pivotal in this election, Bucks County. Bucks County Commissioner Bob Harvey, a Democrat and chair of the Board of Elections, is on the line. Bob, welcome to Studio 2.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So, Bob, I mean, all eyes are on Pennsylvania. We've seen issues with polling machines at various polls outside of our area. But how is it going in Bucks County? Have you guys encountered any issues, election protection issues, voting machines, anything, disruptions today?
The kind of things we've seen are relatively minor. And quite frankly, it's a lot of it is normal. You know, you're running 304 precincts in over 200 locations with over 2,000 poll workers. You know, you're going to have little issues here and there, a machine that, you know, doesn't run the way it's supposed to right away, but every poll precinct has two machines, and you know, we get people out to fix it. So we had one complain about that, but that was fixed relatively quickly. You know, the things we're hearing really are, you know, it's just volume right now. It's the lines at some of our polls, which is not a surprise. So we had lines, obviously, 4 years ago. But overall things, I mean, I'm trying not to jinx myself, but overall things have gone pretty well.
Do you have a sense of how long it will take to count ballots this year? And I'm not including, you know, the provisionals and the ones that always come in late, but, you know, the bulk of ballots. Do you think you have a grasp at this point on what the timeline looks like for Bucks County?
Well, yeah, it's a million-dollar question, right? All I can do really is compare it to 4 years ago, where we had we were finished countings. You know, the ballots you're talking about around Thursday, some point Thursday during the day, we were finished. Now, a couple of things have changed since, you know, 4 years ago. We do have I think we've got a higher volume of mail-in ballots in than we did 4 years ago, but we've also have had the last couple of years of, you know, making our process even better. You know, these new voting systems, the new X77 that kicked in, 2020 being the first year for that. 2020 was also the first year where we were using the paper ballot machines that we have now. So add all that with the volume and, you know, 2020, our staff works, you know, incredibly hard, and it took them till Thursday. We did take breaks. So we didn't necessarily go all the way through nonstop. That's something else that's different now. So we've gotten a little bit more efficient. We have our system is a little bit more perfected than it was 4 years ago. Not that it was bad, but it was our first time going through it at this volume. So, we have a little bit more ballots to open. We've got a little better. We are going to be working 24 hours until we stop, until we're through them all. So, you know, I don't know if it'll be Thursday. I'm not really putting out any kind of guesses as to when it'll be. It could be a little faster than before.
Yeah. I want to talk about mail-in ballot turnout versus in-person turnout. How does that compare? Because I know CBS has reported that about 1.7 million of the 2 million Pennsylvania residents who requested a mail-in ballot actually returned those ballots. What does that, and that number is actually down from 2020 because so many people voted by mail in 2020. So how is that, you know, mail-in ballot to in-person voting turnout looking like in Bucks County?
Well, we sent out about 153,000 mail. Well, we got about 153,000 mail-in applications that we processed. As of I think it was yesterday morning, we had about 125,000 returned. That doesn't count, obviously, what we got yesterday in the mail and in our drop boxes, and what we'll get today through the mail, through the drop boxes. The return rate for those has been pretty high. I think Bucks County has been one of the leading counties in the Commonwealth over the past couple of years in terms of getting those ballots in. It seems pretty consistent. I think, in terms of what the ratio is between in-person and mail-in. So I think in some cases, I know there are people that have loved mail-in balloting from the beginning, and they're going to keep using it, and they're always going to use it. Some people used it a lot the first year or two, especially because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember actually talking to some voters last year who voted in person in the municipal elections and admitted that this was the first time they voted in person since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe because they missed it, they liked going to the polls, just that process. So, I think it's no secret the Democratic voters have been more, embracing the mail-in voting process compared to Republican voters. But I know the Republican Party's been more active in the past couple of years trying to get people to vote using mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an interesting sort of little social experiment in some ways to watch how that dynamic has been changing.
Certainly. And we know you have a busy day. We appreciate the time so much. That is Bucks County Commissioner Bob Harvey, a Democrat and chair of the Board of Elections in Bucks County. Commissioner Harvey, thank you so much for the time on Studio 2.
Thank you. Take care.
I'd love to bring in another caller now. Mm-hmm. This is because we were talking about Get Out the Vote. And Dawn from Mount Airy has a personal experience with the Get Out the Vote effort. Dawn's on line four. Dawn, you're on Studio 2. Share your experience with us.
I have been phone banking for the Wallace-Harris campaign since July, and it's been fabulous up until this past weekend.
Mm.
When I was making calls, they were from all over the country. So I had no idea where the calls, who I was calling, until I started speaking to people, and they were yelling and screaming at me, "I'm so over this. Mm. Don't call me anymore. I'm just sick and tired of these phone calls." And it has not been like that at all. It, like I said, it's been wonderful. So I don't know what happened. I guess maybe anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
been a great experience
overall
for me.
Yeah, that seems like a likely explanation. That was Dawn from Mount Airy. Thanks for the call, Dawn.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much, Dawn. And I want to read a couple emails we got. We asked folks, what got you out to the polls? Jeff emails, "What got me out to vote is to keep Trump out of the White House." Email from Sammy who says, "Just left from the polls. I waited 40 to 50 minutes. Not bad. A long line. I looked up and down and only saw three men among all the women." And I have to say, I went to my polls this morning. I waited about 30 minutes because there was a long line and there was mostly men in my line earlier this morning. So we're looking forward to results. Are there areas of the state in Pennsylvania that you'll be looking at specifically to try to help you decide like where this is gonna swing? And I'm asking us to put on our little Steve Kornacki from CNN hat when we're sitting, watching the results coming in. Are you guys gonna be zoned in any place specific, saying to yourself, "Oh, this is where the turnout needs to be"? Any thoughts on that, Solomon and Liz?
Yeah, my thoughts are the Philadelphia suburbs.
Yeah.
Can Kamala Harris perform well in the Philadelphia suburbs? It's very split in the suburbs from what I can see. And so if she can perform well in those suburbs along with what's happening in the city, I think that she'll do well. But if she doesn't, well, she's got some stuff to worry about because there's some other parts of the states. Now, granted, those parts are pretty sparsely populated, mm-hmm. but they are all Trump all the time. And so we'll see.
So you're going to be honed in on that Philly turnout and the suburbs. Yeah.
Yes.
I would say you look at Bucks County. That is a county that's almost even in registration. Mm-hmm. Trump won it the first time, lost it the second. I would say also look at the Scranton area. Same thing happened. Trump won it the first time, lost it the second time. I know there are reports that people are looking at Erie County and Northampton County as well mm-hmm. being sort of, you know, close in registration.
Bellwether swing
yeah.
counties.
Yeah.
Liz, you also, before we wrap this thing up, you did want to talk about the state house races. Mm-hmm. State Senate, State House of Representatives here in Pennsylvania. There is a lot going on there.
There's a lot. There's a lot of people on the ballot. The Republicans are trying to take back the House. The Democrats are trying to take back the Senate. You know, I think that if you're looking to see how things are going to, you could look at some of these races. Like, most importantly, I would say look at the state Senate races. There's three. Allegheny County, there's one. There's the Jim Brewster seat, which is out, and I think it's Westmoreland, but it's more mm-hmm. the western. That's sort of one people are saying could be a big swing. It's a Democrat is retired.
Yep.
It's been tied all along. And I think there's one here in Northeast Philly people should watch. Joe Picozzi, the Republican young man running in Northeast Philly. He's running against Jim Dillon. And Joe Picozzi has outpolled him sort of consistently in the last several weeks. That would be a big pickup opportunity for Republicans. And I think it would also be, I think it would help some of the down ballot races as well. Some of like the Attorney General and the Auditor General mm-hmm. type races. Showing that some people would split their ticket. You know, if they might come out right. and vote for Harris, but they're also right. willing to vote for Joe Picozzi.
Yeah, interesting there. I want to bring in another caller. We have John from Germantown who voted for Trump. John, you're on Studio 2. What's your comment?
Good afternoon. I did wind up eventually voting for Trump. And my motivation was really the story of Peanut the Squirrel. And, I just, again, kind of started paying attention to it and when it first came out and was a little bit intrigued by it. And I think for me, you know, I think what changed my mind was just sometimes the priorities of our government and our government officials. And I just feel like so many times, you know, they ask us to vote for them and we diligently vote for them. And then, when it's time to prioritize the people and prioritize us, they don't do that. So the amount of resources that they took to essentially capture a squirrel and then kill it was heartbreaking for me. And I'm like, if we only put half that effort into, supporting the people that actually vote or, you know, just the people in general, it would be absolutely amazing. I mean, you would just see some amazing results. So,
yeah. All right. There you have it.
Thank you
Thanks,
so much,
John.
John
from Germantown, swayed by the squirrel.
The squirrel story.
Let's get another email in here. This is incredible. This is an email. This really came into mm-hmm. us. It says, FYI, my name really is Bob Casey. Mm. I voted by mail and found the process easy and great that we can track the ballot from request all the way through the process. I'm working at the polls this afternoon through the close so I could contribute in a small way and see the process up close. That is an email from the other Bob Casey. That's great stuff.
Yeah, as we get ready to wrap up, I got to ask you, regardless of who wins or loses this presidential race, I want you each to make your pitch. Did each of the parties do everything you think in their power to reach every possible voter in Pennsylvania, and did the right people step up? And regardless of, do you feel like they left it all out on the field this election? Solomon and then Liz as we wrap up.
Well, I absolutely think that Kamala Harris left it all out on the field because she could, because she's not 80 years old. And so I think that when she talks about a new generation of leadership, for some of us that might be laughable because she's 60. Yeah. But she had the energy and she had the wherewithal to be able to do all of this traveling around not only Pennsylvania, but all of the swing states and to do it in a way where it looked like she really was trying to win and was able to do it without looking sleepy, right? Without looking like she didn't have the energy to do it. And so Tim Walz said, you can sleep when you're dead, right? When he's talking about this campaign. And I think that that was the attitude that they took. We'll see if it actually works. But I do. I think they left it all out on the field.
And Liz, regardless
I
who wins,
I think all of the sides. Yeah. I think everybody put everything into this. And from all the way at the top but down to the bottom, you know, Donald Trump apparently was out, you know, till 2 a.m. last night. Dave McCormick has been, like, burning the candle at both ends. And all of the row office candidates, unfortunately, Stacey Garrett has been off the trail a little bit. Her father died last night. Everybody has been working so hard. I've never seen more energy than I've seen in this campaign.
Well, that was Elizabeth Preate Havey, longtime Republican Party leader and an attorney. Liz, thanks for your thoughts this hour.
Thank you.
And, of course, you heard from Solomon Jones, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist and WURD radio host. Solomon, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our callers, all the folks who emailed today. The polls are still open until 8 p.m. tonight, so go cast your ballot. And that, friends, wraps up our show. Thank you to our producers, Debbie Builder, Paige Murray Besser, and Andreas Copes. Diana Martinez engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCrory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. We will talk to you tomorrow.